Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Friday, 408 DGS. This may happen all the time, but it's the first time I've heard this. Some friends of ours, their like 20-something son was diagnosed with COVID and moving out of his apartment back in with his parents, just, you know, quarantine, be taken care of. And I believe it was the sheriff's department showed up. They were very nice, but showed up, asked to speak to this young man, had paperwork, and was basically like, okay, well, we're here to make sure he doesn't leave.
Wow.
Have you guys heard of that?
No.
At all?
Uh-uh.
I haven't either. And the family was really surprised, and they were pleasant. It wasn't like threatening. It was just, we know who you are. We know you tested positive. We have this paperwork. Here are the rules. That was kind of chilling.
Which county? Unless you don't want to share that? Okay.
That's interesting.
Which I would think St. Charles would be the most, St. Charles seems the most lax on everything.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
Wow.
Were our parents monsters?
we've had this discussion over the years.
But I have specifics.
Yeah. Mm. But it's, I mean, it's a great question.
Two things. Dirt clods. I think if you saw kids today taking mud and making them into balls and baking them in the sun and then throwing them at each other, parents, like, people would go to court. It was an everyday thing that we did. And our parents watched us and gave us tips like, hey, man, put a rock in the middle of them.
Right.
That, and then earlier, you and Rach and I were talking about some of my best memories are when my mom would leave me and a friend in the car when they ran into the store.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they didn't leave us in there when it was 98, the windows rolled up, but that was our time.
Mm-hmm. Some of the best times of your life were spent in the car while your mother was in the store.
Boy, that sounded judgmental coming out of her, didn't it?
It didn't sound judgmental.
What did you do?
It was.
It was fun.
It was.
It's your own.
It was. You're
playground.
In the car by yourself.
Not alone.
The sky's the limit.
You in a. Yeah.
What was so fun? What'd you do that was so great?
There's you just
no
had
rules.
Like alone time. It
yeah,
was like
there's no rules at that point.
Can people tweet or call and educate Lord Fauntleroy here?
I will. Sometimes, be at the gas station, get gas, and want to run in and get a soda or something. Mm-hmm. You know. For everybody or some, like, you know, James, so demanding, wants some candy.
Mm.
And I will lock, I'll get out of the, I'll leave James in the car, lock it with the fob, with the and keep it running. So he's in there, he's got air conditioning, he's got a tablet that he's watching videos with, and he's, and the car is locked. So he's safe in there, climate controlled, and has entertainment.
You realize you're right next to a narc,
right? And if I, I always feel like I'm
about
I better
to get the cops
hurry because I'm, yeah, because I better go as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing something wrong. But that wasn't even a thing when I was a kid.
I'm sure some kids got snatched. I never knew of one, but. When you were in the parking lot of Kmart, half the cars were full of 8-year-old kids.
Right.
Just was.
My mom would leave us the keys so we could listen to the radio.
See?
It's a big deal.
It's pretty fun. And then sometimes she wouldn't, and it was a lot less fun.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? Don't you yeah
That's
over
the
there.
Ultimate fun, sitting and listening to the radio. What were you doing that was so great?
Go get her. Don't let her crap on your childhood.
I'm not crapping on her childhood. I'm saying that's what I did. I don't understand what you did that was so great.
Mitchell on Twitter, Dave, says that they discovered a new nerd show on Netflix and is recommending it to you. It's called Connected, The Hidden Science of Everything.
I started to watch the first episode.
Okay. There
so
you go.
I've heard
Before
of it.
Before the guy goes
it.
To the dustiest place on earth.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got curly hair.
Yeah, he was kind of off-putting to me. Like the first 3 minutes of him, I'm like, I don't know if I can take a whole bunch of this guy. But I'll go back in.
I have a new show for our Great British Baking Show lovers out there. The Great Flour Fight. Sue,
I haven't
love
seen
it.
Oh, okay.
It's like gardening. Basically, they're building sculptures out of flowers.
How are you spelling flower?
But it's set up like basically exactly like the Great British Baking Show, but they're building flower sculptures. It's awesome.
I love it. Okay. Thank you for that.
And here's what's fun about being in the car alone.
Uh-huh.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes.
It's a race car. It's a getaway car.
It's your...
It's a spaceship. It's a submarine.
Ooh.
Especially if you're in there with a friend or two or a sibling and you're the oldest person.
Yeah.
It's... You are now
Gadgets.
The... You're the ruler...
Yes.
It's
your
...of that
domain.
Space.
Uh-huh.
You make... You're in charge. Yeah. You make the rules. I don't know why that's so hard to understand.
Yeah, that sounds like a great time.
Well, would you rather be inside shopping?
Nope. Well, maybe. Am I 8? Perhaps.
I don't think Mom wanted you in the store shopping with
me. Now we're getting personal. I don't think your mom liked you, Sue.
No, I think that's why we were all left in the car.
No, it's true.
That's why Sue.
All right, well, Sue's ruined that segment. Let's go ahead and play a game.
You want to do this? Okay.
Time for the National
Day Challenge.
What's so fun about that, Tony?
Every week I look back because
I
it's
sit
fun.
In the car.
Every week
fun
I look
about a national challenge.
Back at the National Day calendar, every single day is very many, many multiple national days of something. So I go through all the national days of the week and I put together a little trivia game and we're going to play it right now. Everybody ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Dave's buzzer's ready. Buzz in with your name. You get it wrong, you don't lose any points. You get it right, you get the point. We encourage participation. Question number one. Sunday was National Coloring Book Day. The McLaughlin brothers are credited as the inventors of the coloring book.
Huh.
Within 10, what year? Mm-hmm. Dave?
Wow, I have... Go ahead.
No, no, Sue, please.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, I just said, I have no idea. Go ahead. Sorry!
I would love to see someone do that on Jeopardy. Like
just
they buzz
start
in.
Talking over this.
The other contestant's like,
as the person's midstream.
Right.
What is the. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Alex, I'm trying to think what it is, and I don't know what it is.
All right. Need an answer.
1910.
No. Within 10, what year was the coloring book invented? Sue and Rachel can still buzz in if you'd
1920,
like.
1920. Sue.
Okay.
1920.
No.
Tony,
you took
I'm
10 years
in.
Off your own guest, by the way. There.
How about 1880?
On the
wow,
on the nose.
Nice.
1880.
Wow,
on the nose. Coloring books invented in 1880.
See, you know, here's how dumb I am. I thought about the 1800s, but then I thought I don't think they had Crayolas.
That's what I thought.
So
too.
It would have been dumb to make a coloring book like they'd make a coloring book before they made Crayolas. Like if only we had something to fill this in.
I thought you were gonna say they couldn't print. Question number two. Sunday was also National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. That's pretty great. The first ice cream sandwiches were sold in 1900 from a push cart in the Bowery neighborhood of New York. Within a nickel, how much did the original ice cream... Mm-hmm. Dave.
15 cents.
Nope.
Sue.
Mm-hmm.
5 cents.
1 cent.
Wow.
Within five, you got it.
Mm.
Kind of a little bit of a trick question there, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I'm very clever.
I liked it. I thought it was
very
great.
Very clever. By the way, there are 8 questions in today's game, and 2 of them are multiple point questions. Question number 3. Monday was National Georgia Day. What's the capital of Georgia?
Sue.
Sue?
Is it Atlanta?
It is Atlanta. And that is a point for Sue. Question number four. Bless you. Bless you. And bless you.
There's
that third one. I always got to get that third one.
I'm allergic to judgment.
Oh, well then, I can't even believe you can breathe right now.
I know. I should put my mask
on.
Your
eyes should be swollen shut at this point.
Oh, God. Especially when people judge my childhood. It just really, really gets my sinuses.
Yeah, I get it. I completely understand. You want me to go use Benadryl? Or?
No.
Okay.
I'm okay.
All right, let me know if you do. For 1 point each, question number four. For 1 point each, what are the five states that border Georgia?
Sue.
Oh. Dave?
Florida.
Is one.
Alabama.
Is two.
Tennessee.
Is three. You just took the lead, by the way.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Two more.
Kentucky.
No.
And Vermont.
Nope. You're done at Kentucky. Rachel, Sue, want to take a...
Sue? I really don't know.
Kay.
How about South Carolina?
Yeah, it is one.
Mm-hmm. And we got South Carolina. We got... Oh, Tennessee. Does North Carolina touch a piece of it?
Is that a guess?
Yeah.
No or yes?
No, that's not
answer
the answer.
Now.
Everyone's
Tony,
so
you
mad
take
at Sue.
That.
Correct. Yes, I think it does, but I don't think it does. All I right. think I lose.
No, you win. North Carolina.
Oh, dang it.
Yay.
Yep. Rachel, I was trying to help you guys.
I was like, Tony, you can't let her do this.
I've never heard an answer like that,
Tennessee,
even from Sue.
Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina,
I think I know.
Florida.
I don't think I know. I think, no, it's not, but yes, it is. I'm going to lose.
All right, question number five. Currently, Dave has 3 points, Rachel has 1 point, and Sue has 4 points after getting those two. Question number five. Monday was also National Watermelon Day. For 1 point each, what four states grow the most watermelons in the United States?
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, you want to try? I feel kind of bad. You look kind of pouty.
I'm trying to think
Ooh,
of
she just called Rachel pouty.
I'm just going to ignore it. I don't have the energy.
Can you imagine that? Again, go back to the Jeopardy analysis. You're standing there with your hand on your button. You look at the person next to you and go, you going to buzz in? You want kind of pouty.
You know, you haven't buzzed in
or you don't want me to? I mean, I'll hit it if you want me to hit
look,
it.
We all know you're dumb.
Okay,
and you
Sue.
Seem pouty. So.
Sue, go.
I forgot the question. Where are watermelons grown? Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one.
Kentucky?
No.
Sorry?
Dave, four states that grow the most watermelons in the U.S.
Alabama?
No.
Rachel.
Okay.
Texas.
Yes, Texas
Ooh,
is one.
How about California?
California is also one. Yeah, there's one more.
How about, let's try... Just going to go for it, New Mexico.
Florida is the other one. Florida is the other one. Dave and Rachel each have 3 points. Sue has four. This game is so close. Monday was also National...
Can I tell my watermelon story?
Yeah,
I've told it a bunch.
Yeah, please do.
When I was 13, I worked on a farm, and we would pick watermelons, and we would get there at like 4 in the morning to pick corn, and the older guys, 15, 16-year-olds, would go out and get sugar babies... The best watermelon seedless, put them in the freezer. So good. At lunchtime, you'd have them. They're frozen. So great. And then one time they brought a bottle of vodka and they spiked it. And I'm 13 and I'm like, whoa, finally, this is my jam right here. Like, I'd never smelled vodka. I had never had a taste, a drop of alcohol.
But now this was your...
This was, like, oh,
this
finally.
This is my thing.
Hey, guys, thanks. It'll help me get through the afternoon. Like, of course.
This is my favorite.
Rather than going like, I don't want any hard liquor. I'm 13.
Right.
Or this tastes awful.
No.
I was just like, man, if I had an olive. Dork.
Olive.
Monday was also National Grab Some Nuts Day.
Yeah.
Well.
I thought everyone was going to do that. And then it was just me, and it was weird.
I loved it.
Let's just move on.
That was awesome.
There's no question here. I was just letting everyone know that Monday was also National Grab Some Nuts Day.
It was informational.
And I, yeah, it was
right.
just a PSA.
I felt like it was
I
a natural joke expecting. To me.
Okay, question number six. Whew. Wednesday was National Underwear Day.
Mm-hmm.
According to a poll conducted by 60 Minutes, Within five, what percentage of Americans at least occasionally don't wear underwear?
Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
30%.
25%. That
wow.
is within five. That is within five and a point for Rachel. Okay. Where are we at here? Still trying to get over the national grabs. Okay. Question number seven. Two questions to go. Question with QMD at the end, which means it's anybody's ball game. Today is the national day that commemorates the creation of the oldest American military decoration.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Dave?
The Medal of Honor.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh, good guess.
Go ahead, Sue.
I was going to say, no, go ahead and read.
Today is a national day that commemorates the creation of the oldest American military decoration for military merit. What is that decoration?
Sue, is it the Purple Heart?
It is the Purple Heart. That is correct. All right, Dave and Rachel cannot catch Sue at this point, but for the heck of it, the last question. Tomorrow is National Bowling Day. 300 is a perfect score in bowling. How many strikes does it take to get a 300?
Oh.
13.
No.
10?
No.
8?
No. 12.
Oh.
I thought 13 when I first read it, too, and was like, 12 is wrong. No, it's 1 for the first 9, and then 3 in the 10th frame, 12. Where are we at here? We don't need the tiebreaker.
I don't understand bowling, I'm learning.
We don't need the tiebreaker, which would have been today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. How many cookies does the average American eat in a year? The answer is 300. Average American eats 300 cookies every year. All right, here we go. QMD, the only way to steal this game from Sue is by getting this question right. The QMD, the question of mass destruction. Everybody can buzz in, including you, Sue. Tomorrow is National Dollar Day. Believe it or not, George Washington is not the only person to ever appear on the $1 bill. Who is the only other person that has appeared on a U.S. $1 bill? Dave.
Carrot Top.
Dave wins again.
Who's the only other person
that has appeared on the $1 bill?
Can you give us a hint?
I could.
But you shan't.
With your permission, I'll give a hint, Sue.
Okay.
Because it's the QMD. You're back in, Dave.
No.
Because of the hint. The hint is it's a woman.
Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a bill, but she was on the $1. Sacagawea.
No.
Okay. Huh. I tried.
She was a woman on the $1 bill.
A gal, you say.
A gal, I say. I did not know this. That doesn't mean anything.
The
to
only
anybody.
Thing that comes to mind is Susan B. Anthony, but she got a coin, so I don't think it was her.
It's not Susan B. Anthony.
Betsy Ross.
That's a good guess.
Martha Washington.
What?
Nepotism.
That's so cool. Right. Sue has won
Yay,
this week's I National Day Challenge.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey. 4:30 DGS. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
How's the weekend looking?
Looking like summer. I think the best chance for some scattered thunderstorms is tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. A little less action on Sunday, but we're talking about a steep increase in humidity. It's really going to come back overnight tonight. Started to come back today, but today's still pretty nice. 90 on Saturday, 75 for the overnight low Saturday night, really warm. And then 95 on Sunday, do that again on Monday.
Cool. Question. Summertime. When you were small, you and your brother,
She's already rolling her eyes. Did your mom ever go shopping and leave you and your brother Don in the car just to hang out and play?
Mm-hmm. No.
Never.
Never. I never remember that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Does it sound fun?
Because she knew my brother would probably beat me up.
Mm.
She was watching out for you, Dave.
Yeah, I just don't remember that at all. Now the other time, they'd say, hey, you know, I remember when we lived in Kansas City, we used to play in a crummy old creek with busted bottles and tin cans and stuff like that, and Mom and Dad had no problem with that at all. We probably should have been dead.
The hell laugh was that?
Every kid our age, as an adult, probably should have never survived.
Well, that's true.
Creek.
What?
He playing creek with bottle. So bad parenting.
Wow.
It's exactly what you sound like. Everyone heard it.
Is the mud in the box. He probably drink the creek water too.
Yeah, we probably did.
That sounds like a better time than sitting in the car, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
My brother and I used to play in this creek by my grandma's house. And my grandma did not own the creek. We just went down there. And I think one time the property owners came down and were like, what are you kids doing? And Dave and I are just like, what was their problem? Like, it just never entered into our mind right. that maybe we were trespassing.
Maybe you were in the wrong.
Yeah. We're just like, touch. Let us live.
One of the greatest things our parents let us do is my brother and I, even at a really early age, had a lawn business. And my dad bought us a little wheel horse tractor. Like the smallest tractor you could buy. Our yard, when we lived in Kansas City, had a super severe slope. It was as slopey as it could get and be up there on the tractor and not have the tractor tip over.
Mm.
I mean, we'd cut that and you'd be leaning, like if you were going right to left, you'd be almost off the tractor leaning to the right.
Wow.
That's what could go wrong. You know, it could tip over with rotating blades.
Mm.
Nothing could go wrong.
No. Mm-mm.
Great fun, though.
You know how we've had debates in the past about obesity and body shaming, and there's absolutely nothing wrong, and it's just as healthy to be overweight and all this kind of stuff. So a new study has come out that says that obesity could really be a super big problem when we get the vaccine. I didn't know this, but evidently vaccines for other things don't work nearly as well on obese people as it does on people who are not obese. And they say that this person, it's on CNN Health, that there's 0% chance by the middle of 2021 they're going to have a vaccine that will work on people who are obese. That's terrifying, isn't it?
Couldn't you just get two shots?
See, that's what I thought, but it's not even so much of a you have more mass and therefore you need like when they're going to put you out, they take your body mass index so they can knock you out. This has more to do with what fat does to your immune response and the inflammatory response and its response to the vaccine. That's really interesting.
That's definitely a huge negative, too, because something that is not discussed much in media is obesity can make it hard to recover from COVID.
Oh, they said it's the number one comorbidity.
Yeah.
The people who do the worst with COVID are people who are overweight.
Because you have that extra pressure on your organs, extra pressure
and it's
on your
causing
lungs.
The inflammation, which I didn't know that fat, and when you think about fat, when I think about fat, I think about just the jiggly that's underneath my skin. But we are marbled like a cow. We're marbled like steak. And so a lot of your fat is just internal, marbled within your meat and your organs, and that just fights your body. So
how do we know every stat about COVID-19?
We can't fix it.
No, how many people between the ages of 70 and 80 get it and die from it, and how many cases we have every little stat, and we almost all, we've heard them so much that we all know them just right off the top of our head, but nobody ever says. And another big problem is obesity.
Because, yeah, because that's,
how come we know everything about it, but we're not allowed to say it also is, you're also at particularly higher risk if you are obese.
And I just learned this.
We could say you're about your blood type, about your origins, about your age. We could say all those things and how it affects coronavirus, but we can't say, and it's pretty, it is worse
than
obese. And it
has nothing to do with whether you're attractive or not, or sexy or not, or feel good or not, or look good in your clothes, or able to live your life fully. It has to do with science in that that substance that you have too much of inside your body is going to fight this vaccine and it's going to make COVID worse. It's not an opinion.
Right.
It's not like, look at this fatty. No, it's the response. And it also, I didn't know this either, that if you are fighting cancer, it's much, much harder if you're obese.
I think it affects almost everything.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I was unfortunate enough to see a biopsy of a very heavy person. And the heart, when he got to the heart, is what he said was going to, what would put him down, was the heart around it had that real hard, hard fat all the way around it and constricted the heart. And then all the other fat was like chicken, yellow chicken fat just ran out of him when they had him.
Yeah, no, I've got buddies who are surgeons, and they've said that there will be people that they have to say, if it's like an elective surgery, you're going to have to come back after you've lost X, because physically it's hard to get through all of that. And look, I'm not making fun of fat people. I have been fat in my life, and I fight it all the time. It's not a judgment. It's just like Tony said, that when it's one of the number one health issues, but we've all been scared to death by ever saying the word, because then you're going to be accused of fat shaming. Now, if I were saying, you know who's not attractive? Overweight people. Okay, you got something. But when you're in a worldwide pandemic and the number one comorbidity that's causing problems is obesity, I think people need to know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it until 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that it wasn't good, but I didn't know that chemically it was bad.
That's the point I was making, that we talk about every little thing about this virus that either makes it better or worse or helps it or hurts it is immediate news. But that is a pretty huge piece of the puzzle, and nobody talks about it.
And the doctor that was just on with us saying that for kids, which I also hadn't thought of, that the two biggest things are diabetes and obesity as far as sending your kids back to school.
Thanks, Dave. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A few minutes shy, 5 p.m. DGS, happy Friday. A few of you have been asking about Andrew. So Andrew had someone close to him test positive for COVID last week. So he got tested himself and has been quarantining. He tested negative, and so he will be back in on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is Rachel's last day, 4 weeks. She was supposed to be on vacation this week, but then Andrew had his deal. So she'll be gone on vacation next week. Andrew will be here. There you go. Mm-hmm. And she will be gone next week, too. So,
oh, boy. I'm just going to sit in my car. It's a great time.
The attitude's not helping, Sue.
Sorry.
Hello, Frank Cusimano.
Well, if Rachel's not on the show, then I'm not coming on next week. I'll tell you that.
I don't blame you for
that.
Thank you, Frank. So another day, another positive test for the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, you know, normally, Dave, the Cardinals and Cubs in a weekend series would be the biggest happening in St. Louis. But let's face it, there's nothing normal at all about the summer of 2020. The game has been postponed because the Cardinals had another player test positive. This will allow for additional testing and to complete the contact tracing process. John Mozeliak is going to address this at about 5 o'clock today. And just in about 4 or 5 minutes ago, Bob Nightingale from USA Today is reporting that the whole series has been canned. So we'll find out shortly. It's just another wild, wacky day in a crazy summer in professional sports.
So, Frank, just mathematically, forget about morally or medically, but just mathematically, when do you get to the point that enough games and series have been canceled that you can't make them up?
Well, I think the Cardinals are at that point right now. I mean, they were attempting to play 55 games in 52 days. Can you imagine that if this series gets canceled, that means they'd have to play 55 games in 49 days. Mm. I mean, that's like five doubleheaders there.
Yeah.
So I think because there are off days, I think they could still get it in, the bottom line. But they really, if they were to lose this weekend, it would be impossible. And as I mentioned before, is they don't have to play 60 games. And if the Cardinals play like 53 and they have a higher winning percentage than a team they're battling for the wild card spot, the Cardinals would get in. It seems terrible, and it's all goofy,
yeah.
But that's the way it would work.
And, Frank, I know it's hit the Cardinals especially hard. We've also heard about the Marlins. I think the Phillies have missed a handful of games also that have, because of coronavirus, that had been postponed. Does it seem especially doom and gloom to us because it's happening so bad in St. Louis, or is this something that is starting to be a problem across the league?
Well, it's only in Florida in terms of having, you know, missing games. And it's interesting because the Marlins came back and they went 3-0 since they've come back. Now, granted, it was against the Orioles, so there's an asterisk there. So I think a lot of the Cardinal players are thinking, well, if the Marlins can come back and win, then we can come back and win. But here's the interesting thing. I think here's the difference. Is the Marlins had 8 days of a quarantine, and the Cardinals, I believe, only had 5 official days of a quarantine. Did they rush this back too soon? We're going to get a lot of answers coming up in about, you know, 10 minutes from John Mozeliak. But it seems like the Marlins got the opportunity and more time to recover and sift through this thing.
So here's a crazy question, but I guess anything in 2020 is possible. If it really is just, if this comes out to be a St. Louis problem, a Cardinal problem, and all the other teams are able to play, could you ever imagine a world where Major League Baseball just said, look, the Cardinals are just going to have to shut it down and we're going to play this season with one less team?
Well, that seems far-fetched, but let me tell you something, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is possible.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
As I've said before, it's about $800 million for the owners and $1.5 billion for the players. They seem awfully motivated to get to the World Series. and get to that television money.
And we've been talking so much about the Cardinals that we haven't talked at all about the Blues. What's happening with the NHL season?
Well, I wish the Blues would have got the memo that they should have showed up in Edmonton about a week earlier than they have, because they haven't shown up. I mean, look, you could say, oh, that Blackhawk game is an exhibition game. And then the next game, oh, that wasn't that important. Well, now you got three games, three clunkers. I mean, last night Chris Kerber said the best player on the Blues roster was their goaltender, Jordan Binnington, and they gave up six goals. That gives you a little bit of an idea of how poorly the rest of the team is playing. Colton Parayko was really good. He had two goals. But they got to show up, and as I've said before, a coach gets a player's attention a lot more when they lose. If Craig Berube doesn't have the Blues' attention right now, then we are going to be in for a very short playoff run in Edmonton. But I will say this. They play a good game on Sunday, then they start a playoff against Vancouver or like Calgary, and they could be okay. These round-robin games, they mean something, but in the end, they don't mean a whole lot when it comes to the postseason.
And UConn, University of Connecticut, announced that they are not going to play their football season. UConn's a pretty big program. Seems to me to be a pretty big deal. Is that a bellwether? Does that send a message that other teams may about be ready to do the same thing? Or you think it's a standalone situation with UConn?
I don't think it's a big deal. UConn was 2-10 last year. They're now an independent team. So by them not playing, it doesn't affect many. Bottom line, the Power Five conferences, where all the money is, where all the national championships come from, they are all committed to a conference-only schedule. And I think with all that money, SEC money, by the way, $45 million per school if there's a season, I think they're going to give it a real, real good shot.
Frank, finally, any rumblings about the NFL?
You know, Dave, the opt-out total for NFL players is approaching 70 as we speak, which is pretty staggering. I didn't think it would get that high this quickly. So, again, it's a league about money, and they're going to give it a shot. But that's a really high number.
Yeah, sure is. All right, Frank, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
So this just in, Jerry Falwell Jr. is taking an indefinite leave of absence.
Wow.
To work on being a good boy.
Probably because of the investigative journalism that we've done right here on this show.
Probably so.
You are so right.
Some Republican lawmakers called him out. Look, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You know, when you make your living teaching kids Christianity and to be moral and having very strict rules about conduct and photos and all this kind of stuff, and you are the leader and you're the face and you're very political and you're constantly doing interviews.
For people that maybe didn't hear it at 6 o'clock yesterday, his quote about when he was talking to his kids about the picture.
Yeah, he took a picture with a woman who had her pants undone and her shirt pulled up and his pants were undone.
Right.
And his shirt was pulled up and he said, I spoke to my kids and told them from now on, daddy's going to be a very good boy. Possibly the creepiest part of the whole story.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.